Thank you for taking the time to listen to our weekly service. This is a listener-supported ministry, and we ask that you pray and see what God would have you give. Now let's get to our sermon for today.
Okay, Luke chapter 18, verse 1. And he spake a parable, and this is Christ talking, unto them to this end, that men ought always to pray and not to faint, saying, there was in a city a judge which feareth not God, neither regardeth men. And there was a widow in that city, and she came unto him, saying, avenge me of my adversary. And he would not for a while, but afterwards he said within himself, Though I fear not God, nor regard men, yet because this widow troubleth me, I will avenge her, lest by her continually coming she weary me. And the Lord said, hear what the unjust judge saith. And shall not God avenge his own elect, which cry day and night unto him, though he bear long with them? I tell you that he will avenge them speedily. Nevertheless, when the Son of Man cometh, shall he find faith on the earth? I have spoke several times on prayer, and there's always a new avenue of prayer. There's so much about prayer, and this is just another one, part three, of talking about praying and what it means. And it's a big subject, and today I want to cover one area of it. So in verse 1, it says here that God tells us to pray and to faint not. We're always to pray. Most of us probably know that already, but we're to pray continually. We're to pray every day. We can pray anywhere from, I'm throwing this just out, 30 seconds to maybe hours at a time. One of our greatest examples is Jesus Christ. He used to go up in a mountain. I've just been reading it in my devotions where he goes up there and prayed all night, 4 or 5 hours. And I always say to myself, if Jesus Christ is God in the flesh, had to pray to the Father that long, how much more do we have to pray? And we're nothing like what Jesus Christ was. Praying always here means making prayer as natural as breathing. That's the way it comes out in the Greek. Pray as if as natural as breathing. Now think about that. Does anybody here get up in the morning and say, I got to start breathing? Or during the day you go, well, wait a minute, I need to take a breath. No, it's natural. And God is telling us that's the way prayer ought to be each day for us. It's not that you get up and go, well, okay, I got to pray about this today and I got to pray about... No, I mean, you got a prayer list, don't get me wrong. That's not what I'm referring to. What I'm referring to is that when something comes up at work, that you automatically think of going to prayer. It's natural. That's something you got to think about and worry about. I need to take time. Prayer is also, as I try to tell people, it's talking just the way you talk to each other. Is the way you talk to God. And then you pray from your heart. Not from your mind, from your heart. Now, Jesus Christ did two things at the Garden of Gethsemane. He prayed from his heart, and then he prayed from his mind. From his heart, he said, take this cup away from me. He did not want to go to the cross. That was the man side of him. But before he finished that prayer, he prayed from his mind, said, nevertheless, not my will be done, but thy will be done. But what it taught me is the fact that he's praying from his heart. Why shouldn't we be praying what's on our heart? It may not be in God's will. It wasn't in God's will for him not to, you know, to go to the cross. He knew that. But he still prayed that prayer. We can pray a lot of things. Hopefully we're always praying in God's will. But we may not be. And then God can open up the door or close the door to let us know that. Maybe sometimes we find out later that, hey, you know, I've been praying wrong. Well, a good example. we learn things like that. But, you know, you learn something, you get on with life, and you keep going down, and God taught you something. But we need to be praying from our heart. Open your heart up. God, why aren't you answering this prayer? Why aren't you doing this? There's nothing wrong with asking that question. As long as at the end, you're praying and accepting what is God's will for you. And sometimes it may be that he's not going to give you what you're asking for. We don't know that. But that's the reason why you pray, to find that out. A lot of times we get up and say, well, you know, I got to pray today. I got to do my prayer credit. And I got to do this and I got to do that. Prayer when you're at work. God doesn't expect you to stop what you're doing. Get down on your knees, bow your head, put your hands together, and pray. Even though that's a nice way of doing it. He does say go up in a closet, closed place, and pray to him. But there's times when you're at work, you can't do that. And there's nothing wrong with sitting there without praying, putting your hands together, closing your eyes, and talk to God. When I first stopped smoking, I just was sharing this with Don. I said, when I first stopped smoking, I said, I made up this prayer thing. I said, in the blood of Christ, take this away from me. And he did. But guess what happened? 5 minutes later, I had to say the same prayer again. 5 minutes after that, I had to say the same prayer again. 5 minutes after that, and I prayed all day long. It kept coming back. Eventually, weeks later, it was every 30 minutes. And eventually, 1 hour, 2 hours. And eventually, I didn't have to pray anymore. It was gone. But that's how I got victory over smoking. But what I'm trying to teach you is this consistency of prayer. If I stopped praying at one time, guess what would have happened? I'd probably pick up a cigarette and smoked it. And whatever we're praying about, whether we're praying about somebody in the hospital, praying about how to get our dad down here and our brother, or praying about a financial need that we have and all, we got to take it from our heart, pray to the Lord, but always try, say, God, I want to pray in your will. I want to do what you want me to do. And sometimes I find three things happen in prayer for me. And I believe it happens to everybody's life. I've had very rare, probably two or three times in my life where I was about to pray for something. And what I was going to pray for, God already gave it to me before I got down to pray about it. I mean, it happened that quick. And I went, wow, now what a blessing. Then the second one was when I prayed to God, and within that day or the next day, fairly quick, the prayer got answered. But 90% of the time, it's always at the very last minute. And I believe one of the reasons is, which we've already been taught here, is that God tests us to see where our faith is. How quick are you going to give up? We simply need to do it all the time without thinking, praying. And it says here also, we are not to faint. The word faint here means a believer who loses faith. You pray and pray and you lose faith. Well, I don't think my prayer is getting answered. Or one that gets discouraged and wants to quit. Because it seems like nothing's happening in your life when you're praying. Or the difficulties of life tempt you to the point to where you just want to give up on your prayer. Prayer is much more than words coming from our lips. Prayer should be the desire of our hearts, as I just said, but also a desire to please God in what we ask. Is what I'm doing bring honor and glory to the Lord? Obviously, if it's not, I don't think God's going to be answering our prayers. A key word here, which is not written here, but a key word and a word I love because I just love the way it's pronounced. I love the way what its meaning is, and persevere. And the word in the Greek actually is mentioned several times through the scripture, but it doesn't come out, they didn't translate it persevere, but it has the same meaning. The word faint here has that same meaning, to persevere. Never give up, keep going. Never stopping. And that might take. Now think about this. Abraham and Sarah prayed a lifetime. She prayed so long that she laughed in the tent when the angels were outside saying, you're still going to have the baby. And she said, at my age, I ain't going to have a baby. She thought it was a joke. And yet she had that baby, just as God said, when the time was right, when it was God's will. But at the time, they thought they were way past God's will. Surely I can't have a baby at that age. Persevere sums up our prayer life. And in verse 2, in comes this unjust judge. Here we have a judge who does not fear God, it says. We can assume he does not know Christ as his Savior. He's not saved, okay? It says also that the word here, he says he does not regard men, which means he does not respect man. He doesn't really care what they think about him, which contradicts a little bit of what else I'm going to say. But in other words, he doesn't worry about what a person's saying to him for him to make a decision. And I hate to say this, but that's what's going on in our court system right now, all the way up to the Supreme Court. They don't rule on the law. They interpret the law the way they want to. And that's why we're having so many problems in the court of law. Why one person or Muslim truck drivers can sue the government and have the government pay the lawyers to sue them. And then you got a guy that doesn't want to do cake because of his religion and they want to throw him in jail. And it doesn't make any sense, but that's what's happening in our society, and it's probably a lot more. So we have a judge here that doesn't regard, which doesn't respect man. He ends up being an unjust judge. He does what he wants, how he wants, when he wants. And it's all about himself and what he thinks. It's not about the other person. Then in comes the widow in verse 3. The widows back in those days were helpless. They were weak members of society. Nobody wanted to fool with them. They lost their husband, and they didn't want to bother to see whether everything was taken care of. They were, like I said, a small part of the society. They virtually had no recourse to help them along the way. And even though this particular widow had such a disadvantage, she used what little resource she had, and that was she used perseverance. In modern day language, she nagged the judge. And she didn't give up. She went in every day and sat in that office waiting to go in. And he refused, and he kept coming in, seeing her sitting there. She wanted justice. She wanted avenge of what was being done to her, which was illegal to be done. We don't know the whole thing about it, but we do know that there was a problem there. Then in verses 4 and 5, the judge changes his mind. And it's interesting. The judge would not listen to the widow, but he was so corrupt, the judge did not even want to help her whatsoever. And the judge finally gives in because he's tired of her and he wants to get rid of her. So think about this now. He's going to help her, but not because he wants to help her. It's because of himself. Let me take it a step further. Why? Because God tells us in verse 5. Here's a better translation of verse 5. This is literally where it comes from the Greek this way. I must see her lest she gives me a black eye. That's the way it literally should be translated. Now, it doesn't mean physically that she's going to hit him. What it's referring to is that because she's in that chamber waiting to see him every day, that people are going to start talking about him, saying, what's about this woman? And before you know it, let's face it, they're going to start feeling sorry for the woman. And what kind of man is this? Even though he doesn't regard men, he finally realizes his testimony as a judge is going to be heard. So again, he decides to grant her what she's looking for only because he's worrying about himself, not about that woman. And this is a key thing in here, which leads to the main point, which I'm going to get to at the end. So he goes ahead and takes care of that woman. Okay? Now, in verse 7, 6 and 7, I'm going to read that back again. The Lord said, hear what the unjust judge said. And shall not God avenge his own elect, which cry day and night unto him, even though he bear long with them? God is teaching us here that when you pray, do you ever do this? Do you think that God's unjust? You ever think about that? Or do you think he's cheap? I have to say that I have said something along that line. God, you own the cattle on 1,000 hills. That's what the scripture says. What it's referring to, he made heaven and earth. What's $1 million to Christ or to God? Nothing. So why don't you give me $1 million? All you got to do is stink it. I got it. What's the big deal? Now, I didn't say $1 million, but I have talked about money that I needed. And we may not have come out and say, God, you're cheap, but why aren't you giving me the money? I got to admit, I've said that before in the past, as I was growing closer to, trying to get closer to the Lord. So in a way, without coming out and directly saying it, sometimes we actually have the attitude, or we feel sometimes, because we do stop, that we're serving an unjust God. God wants to hear your prayers. God wants to answer your prayers. You can't go through Scripture, especially Psalms and Proverbs, and not get that subject. He wants to go overboard and take care of you. What parent doesn't want the best for their children? I've never met one. I don't care what they make, if they make little or more. We always want the best for our kids. And God, I find, does the same thing in Scripture. He wants the best for us. But no parent gives a child something that's been bad, or out of the will, or going the wrong direction. And God does the same thing to us. He wants to help, but are we doing it in His will? Are we doing what He's taught us to do? And that's what this is talking about here. Now I've talked to you about this before, taught you about it, but God's always testing our faith. And what happens when you finally give up on Him? Think about that. How many times have we given up? Been there, done it. Give up on God. When God's really trying to teach you something, trying to find out where your faith is. Doesn't He say at the end, which we'll get to in a minute, when I come back to earth, shall I find faith? Are you growing? Are you taking what you've learned each week? And are you taking it? Is your faith? How does faith come? By hearing and reading the Word of God. So you're hearing it and you're reading it. And you should be growing. And you only grow by applying it in your life. So God is teaching us here that the unjust judge ends up helping the woman. Even if it was for the wrong reason, but He helped her. What will a just God do for us that loves us? He loves us so much that He made a way. Hey, we didn't have the fall. Adam and Eve didn't have to eat off that fruit. But God knew that it was going to take place anyhow. And He made a nice long way around for us to come back to His fellowship and get saved. He's long-suffering towards that. He forgave us of our sins. He helps us to live through grace right now. And I want to tell you, if you don't appreciate it, every day of your life you should get up and praise God for the word grace and what He bestows on us. Because without it, we'd be in a lot of trouble. But God is going to act on our behalf, but He's only going to do it in His will and at His time. And one thing we all got to learn is to accept the fact that it may not be today, and it may not be tomorrow, and it may not be next week or next year. Every prayer request obviously is going to be different. But God knows what is best for us. And you know what the best part about God is? What we just talked about in Bible study. He knows the future. He knows when you need, what you need, and when you need to get it. And I'm sure there's people in here that can tell testimonies, as I know I can, that tell you that I needed it by this date, and I didn't get it. And when I got it, and look hindsight, and look back, I went, you know, it came in at the right time. It was just, He did answer at the right time. But at the moment, I thought it was wrong. It wasn't there when it was supposed to be. And it's happened so many times, I got to the point where I don't worry about it anymore. I just pray, take it before the Lord. He's always there to test us. So what God's teaching us here again is what I just said about the unjust God to a just God. We have one that will do the right thing at the right time. Why? Because He cares enough for us to want the best for each of us. The unjust judge did it for Himself. to get rid of the woman, not the helper. So Christ concludes that if a corrupt judge can be moved to grant justice, how much more will a caring and compassionate God bring justice to his own? Finally, will Christ's return find faith here? Only you can answer that question. Will you have faith to keep on praying and knowing what you've learned today? Will you apply what you had today? Faith, again, comes by hearing, hearing by the Word of God. So you've learned something today. Your faith can increase, but there's one thing that keeps you from really nailing that faith down, and that comes from James. James says, show me your faith by your works. It's not enough for you to know what you've learned today. You have to apply what you've learned today. And if you don't apply it, you don't have the faith. Don't tell me you have faith. Paul said, uh-uh. Don't tell me you have faith. Show me your works. Then I'll see your faith. And God's seeing the same thing. He's watching. He's looking. And if you don't have something, it's because you're doing it wrong. We've got to become doers of the word and not just hearers only. And without faith, without doing, there is no faith. And we got to apply. So when Christ returns, will you learn your lessons between now and then? And will God come back and see that you've grown in the Lord? You don't have to be perfect. You just got to continue growth. See, it's tithing. You heard tithing, and many times you've asked me to speak on it. But some of you don't do it. So you know to do it. You know Scripture teaches it, but you don't do it. So you don't have the faith to trust God to do it. Think about that. That's the logical conclusion that God comes to. And it comes to anything else you're going to pray for. I just picked on that because that's a subject we all have to live with and fight. But it's the same thing when we're praying for people in hospitals. Or for our families, or for salvation, or for a bill that we're looking for. You expect God to give money, but you're not doing your part of what God has asked you to do. So here's the conclusion. There are several lessons to learn here today. The lesson to pray without stopping, not to faint. Let it become to the point of natural, where it's natural to you to do it. The lesson to have faith in your prayers. That you know God will answer it. You just don't know when and where. But you know God can answer it. The lesson that God cares and listens for you. And the fact that the main point of this whole thing, summed up into one sentence, is this. That the main one is that if an unjust God can help someone and do it for the wrong reason, how much more is God going to do for you that wants the best for you in your life? That loves you and has compassion on it and wants to bless you. God wants to bless you abundantly. It says in Malachi that your cup will run over. You can't contain it. But he isn't going to give it to a disobedient child. It just ain't going to happen. Once in a great while it does happen. It's very rare though. And again, that goes back to the word grace. How much more will a just God help us? Let's pray.
We pray that we have been a blessing to you. For further assistance, call us at 864-270-1472 anytime. Send email to info@stlmm.org or visit our website at www.stlmm.org. Like any ministry, it costs money to operate. Please consider supporting this ministry as God leads you with your prayers and your financial gifts by going to www.stlmm.org and clicking on donations.